This season, we are going to be looking at four different carols, because so often we go into stores, we're in the car, and we're listening to the radio, and I think these, because we've heard them all so many times, they just sort of come on, we go, oh, it's this person singing this song, and I really like it. But sometimes we don't actually stop and think about the power of these words. And the cool part is I was somewhere, I was at Chorus, and all of the Christmas carols they were playing was about the story of Jesus, which was so cool. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, my biggest hope is that they would truly understand how powerful the story of Jesus is. And so today we're looking at O Holy Night. And as it was just sung, it's such a powerful song to be sung and to be received, but the message in it is so powerful. And one of the phrases that stood out to me as I looked at the song was the phrase, long lay the world in sin and error pining, that idea that sin is so heavy. It's heavy. That thing that separates us from God is heavy, because there's God, Lord, Master, Creator, love, peace, kindness, goodness, joy. And yet sin, disobedience, separates us from God. And so the question some of us might be asking is, well, where did sin come from? So here's a video.
So part of that story is about the first time people stopped trusting God. It's called the fall, because it's all about how we fell away from God. It begins like this. When God was done creating a perfect world, the first two humans, Adam and Eve, got to live as a family in a beautiful place called the Garden of Eden. They explored wherever they wanted and took walks with God. And God took care of them like a loving father. The Garden of Eden was a perfect home. In fact, Adam and Eve were so free, they didn't even wear clothes. God wanted everybody to be this free, with no shame or embarrassment. Imagine no death, no secrets, no fighting, no fear, no pain, no loneliness, no anger, no bullies, no sadness, no hunger, no getting left out, no crying, nothing bad, ever. This is God's dream for all of us. But part of being free means we get choices. And the first bad choice happened in the Garden of Eden. See, God gave Adam and Eve one rule. Do not eat fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden. God knew if Adam and Eve ate this fruit, they would think they knew everything good and didn't need God anymore. They would stop asking God to take care of them. And they would know about evil, which means they would hurt each other. Sickness would come. They would get old and eventually die. God didn't want any of that to happen, so he told them not to eat the fruit. Now, you might be wondering why God would even make a tree like that in the first place. Why give Adam and Eve a chance to know how to ruin the perfect world? But remember how being free means we get to make choices? God wants us to choose to obey because we love him, not because we have to. And for a while, Adam and Eve chose to trust God and obey him. After all, it was perfect in the garden. But one day, an evil serpent decided he wanted to separate Adam and Eve from God. So he came up with a plan to make Eve think God didn't love her. He said, "Does God really love you? If he does, why won't he let you eat this juicy, delicious fruit?" Eve told the serpent what God had told Adam. If they ate the fruit, they would die. The snake told Eve that God was lying. The fruit would only make her smart. Being smart sounded great. So Eve bit into the fruit. It tasted so good, she gave some to Adam. He ate it too. Well, they didn't drop dead on the spot, but things started to change. First, they realized they were naked and felt embarrassed. Before eating the fruit, they only felt happy. Then they heard God coming and ran away. They had never run away from God before. God knew what happened, but he still asked Adam, "Did you eat the fruit I asked you not to eat?" Adam said, "Eve made me do it." Eve didn't like being blamed. She said, "The serpent made me do it." Really, they had both made a choice to disobey God. God was so sad they chose not to trust him. They had to move away from the beautiful garden. Worse, pain and sadness and death came into the world. It was no longer perfect. This could have been a horrible end to a really sad story. But guess what? It's not. God loved Adam and Eve, and us, so much that he planned a great rescue. Many years later, a rescuer would take the punishment for every bad choice ever made. And because of this rescue, God would one day make the world a perfect home for us again. And that's the story of the fall. So in case you missed it, here's a quick version. God made a perfect world. There was one rule. The serpent tricked Eve. He made her doubt God's love. So Eve broke the rule. Adam broke it too. All the wrong things in the world started. But that's not the end. God really did love them, and all of us. So he began a great rescue plan. And that's a part of God's story.
So it's so cool because God had this wonderful rescue plan that would actually take away the sin that would separate us from God. And that was Jesus. And so Jesus, I like that line where it says, in the song, it says, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Because we truly can't experience who we are until we meet Jesus. Because he's the creator. He's the one who created us, who has plans and purposes for us. And until we actually meet him, we can't experience the fullness of what we were created for. So, Jesus brings hope. And this is what it looks like.
Who am I? Am I what I do? An artist? An accountant? A teacher? A mother? Or am I what I've achieved? An honor student? An MVP? A winner? Am I the things I've done right? Or am I defined by the things I've done wrong? Am I a saint? A sinner? What about what others think of me? Am I all of these things? None of these things? Who am I? How I identify myself determines how I approach life. If I am what I do, I'll always need to do more and achieve more to find my value. If I am what others say, I'll always try to please people instead of my Heavenly Father. But if I listen to who God says I am and embrace His identity in me, I'll find the freedom to live out all He has planned for me. God calls me his child. He says I am wise and restored, that I'm a brand new creation in Christ. I am chosen and holy and blameless before God. He calls me his masterpiece. I am loved by God. He says I am made complete through the grace and mercy of Jesus, my Savior. And when I see myself the way God sees me, I walk with confidence because I trust the one who answers the question, who am I?
And so Jesus brings hope. He brings hope. He said in John 3:16, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him would never perish, but would have eternal life. And this next verse, it was interesting. I was on a silent retreat. I know some of you find that very difficult to believe. I could go very long without talking. So I was on a silent retreat this week, and I decided to make watching trains spiritual. So I counted the train cars as I went by, and then whatever number it was, I would read a psalm and then say, Lord, you're going to speak to me. And he did. So I counted the train cars. 84 went by. I'm like, Psalm 84. I've read it so many times. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord, or God Almighty. We will go from strength. That was my attitude, which is really sucky when you're trying to read the Word of God. But then he took me to that's not it. That's not what he took me to. He took me to, if you have your Bible and you turn to Psalm 84, it says, because it's the same kind of verse, it says this. Psalm 84, verse 3. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, O Lord, my King and my God. And it just spoke to me, the same as this verse does, right? Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow or reap or store in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them? Like, those two verses spoke to my spirit so much, like how insignificant we think we might be, and yet Jesus loves us and has plans and purposes for us. How amazing is that? And so I need some kids' help to remind us of who God is. So, kids, because sometimes we just need to be reminded about the soul feeling its worth. And so over here, it says, I am loved. So when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we experience the fullness of love from Him. And it says, created with a purpose, because God has a plan and a purpose for every single person. This one says, I am forgiven. I am forgiven. And not just like small little sins that we think are so small, but we're forgiven from every single sin. I am protected. I am protected. Jesus says that when we follow Him, that we are protected, that He'll be our shield. And this says God's house, because it says, do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? When we invite Christ in our heart, then He actually takes up residence in us. So He's with us wherever we go. You are God's masterpiece. Isn't that wonderful? He put you all together, your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your ears, your insides, your brains, your hearts, your joints, and He put you together. He knit you together in your mother's womb. And He has wonderful plans, because we are God's masterpiece. And this says, I am cared for. That means He's going to look after you. And you have really good parents that He gave you, didn't He? Yeah. And they look after you, right? Because He cares for us. And this says, I am a child of God. When we invite Christ into our heart, we become part of God's family. We become holy and blameless. That means the enemy, he can't hold things against us anymore. Because of Jesus, we are set free from the power of sin and chosen, right? Chosen from the beginning of the world. That means before the God even created the world, He had you and 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 you on His mind, and all of you. Isn't that wonderful? And the soul felt its worth. This is the soul feeling its worth, how precious we are to God. That's why when we say Jesus brought hope, that's the power of that song, right? Long lay the world in sin and error pining until He appeared and the soul felt its worth. Because we are created in the image of God, we are all of these things. Okay, give them a big hand. Sometimes you just gotta be reminded of who we are in Christ. Of who we are in Christ. And so, it says, in our trials. Now, what's interesting is I said, do you think you can sing the second verse that we never sing? Because this line is in the second verse. And it says, in our trials, born to be our friend, He knows our need to our weakness, is no stranger. And so Jesus knows all of our struggles. I think we should sing that verse more often. He knows all of our struggles. Hebrews says, Jesus understands every weakness of ours because He was tempted in every way that we are, but He did not sin. And then 1 Peter says this, so cast your cares on the Lord. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. All of your anxiety. All right? He is interested in you giving it all to Him, whether you're sad or mad, or frustrated, or disappointed, or lonely, or hurt. Jesus wants us to give all of our hurts, our loneliness, our frustrations to Him. He says, cast it to Me. He says, come to Me, all of you who are tired and have heavy loads, and I will give you rest, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. He says, just give it all to Me. And He's experienced it all. He's experienced the frustrations. He's experienced the hurts. He's experienced the letdowns. He's experienced being abandoned by good friends and betrayed by people who said He would never leave Him. So when He says, tell it to Me, He is so legit because He knows. He is the one to talk to. Jesus knows our struggle. And finally, He taught us actually how to get along with people. It says, truly He taught us to love one another. His law is love. And His gospel is peace. I love the idea that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. It says in Psalms 32:5, then I acknowledged my sin to Him, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I would confess my transgressions to the Lord, and You forgave the guilt of my sin. I love that idea that, like, I chose to tell You all of my sin, and You forgave me. The rest of the verses go on like this. Let everyone who is godly pray to You while you may be found. And when the waters rise, they will not touch you. for you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble, and you will surround me with songs of deliverance. When we turn to God, that's what he does. He brings this wonderful sense of peace because he covers us with songs of deliverance, saying, I'm going to look after you. I'm going to care for you. I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to leave you. That's why this song is so powerful. It tells us about the power of God to transform lives. And Isaiah 9:6 says, For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so what is our response to this? We have two things. We believe that Jesus is who he really said he is, that he really can remove our sin from us if we turn to him and give it to him, and he really will listen. He really can make a change in our lives. And so we follow him. And that's the choice for everyone this morning. Is God so loved the world that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And so when we give our hearts to Jesus, when we say, I know I've sinned, but would you forgive me? He does. Every little sin. And then he comes and he lives it up in us and he fills us with his Holy Spirit to help us to make the right choices, to do the things he wants us to do. And so that's the powerful part about communion. Communion is this opportunity that we get to remember. It's so perfect that we're kicking off Advent with communion because it's all about remembering Jesus, remembering his birth, remembering his resurrection because he died on the cross for our sins, and then he rose again, breaking the power of death and hell. The one line in O Holy Night talks about all oppression will cease. All oppression will cease. So when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we can experience the peace that only he can offer. And then we look forward to his coming again. And so on your tables are gluten-free bread and juice. So we encourage you now, I'm going to ask that you would pass the bread first. Now, communion is open to anyone who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if that is you today, we invite you to partake of communion with us. If that is not you, and you're like, I'm just not there yet, it is okay to pass. It is okay to pass the bread and let it go to the next person. And while you hold on to the bread, we're going to sing a song of reflection. And as we sing the song of reflection, I want you to just think about what the words are, which is draw me close. And for some of us, we're going to ask the Lord the question, will you just draw me closer? And for some of us, we'll say, Lord, is there anything in my heart that's preventing me from coming closer? And for some of us, we're just going to say, Lord, would you teach me about yourself? I don't really know you all that well, but I want to know more. So as we reflect and we hold this bread, which represents the body of Christ, we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us. So Lord Jesus, we invite you to speak to us. As we hold this bread, which represents your body, as we've listened to the song, the words, Lord God, for some of us, we want you to draw even closer. For some of us, maybe there's something preventing you from getting closer. It's called sin. We ask that you would reveal that to us. And for some of us, we have no idea really who you are, but we want to learn more because you sound so cool. You sound like there's peace and freedom. So would you teach us about that this morning, too, as we sing? Amen.